Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is War Room Live, coming to you live here from the new Alex Jones Network headquarters. You can follow us, of course, at alexjoneslive.com. It's alexjoneslive.com. Crime just continues to be a massive topic daily because we're now experiencing the downstream effects of the big changes that were made 5 years ago. And I think we need to align these things. Like, we need to understand sometimes things take, you know, a couple years to come about. And basically in 2020, they did the Black Lives Matter defund the police program. And now we're seeing the effects of it. And you saw the murder rate and violent crime rate skyrocket in just about every major city. It's one of the few things that I give Donald Trump absolute credit for is the way they, you know, crushed crime in D.C. and Memphis and elsewhere. I mean, they can hang their hat on that. And that was a really good move. I wish it didn't take federal intervention. It shouldn't. It's not like these cities don't have the resources to deal with this. They're just not being used for that. Ever. Just like in Austin. Sure, we've got all the license plate scanners you could possibly need, but can't track a criminal for the life of us. Can't track a bunch of teenagers driving around in stolen vehicles, shooting at people. They will give you a ticket. They will, you know, hit you for staying parked in a space for too long. And this is another case where truly the left is the worst. They screw us on so many things. And I've got three major examples that I think we need to understand the way the solutions to these problems are deployed and how it embodies the term that a lot of people use, maybe don't understand, of controlled opposition. Remember, the best example I think of controlled opposition we've seen maybe in my lifetime, and we clocked it as it was happening, was the fake opposition to the Venezuela boat bombings. That I thought there were some legitimate concerns about the ability of the president to declare valid war targets, the stretching to practically non-existence, the definition of imminent threat. I thought you could have absolutely brought the Trump administration to task and, you know, forced their actions to be subject to a vote under the War Powers Act. Felt like you could have done that. What did the Democrats do to oppose them? They had six of their veteran Congress people make a video encouraging the troops to disobey orders. And it's like, okay, so now nothing is being done to actually stop the potential crime happening, the potential, you know, expansion of the executive power illegally and unconstitutionally. Nothing's going to stop that. Nothing's going to prevent this same excuse being used later. Again, we called it. We nailed it. We were like, okay, what's happening in Venezuela is they are, you know, setting the precedent for action in Iran. They're going, well, you know, it's an imminent threat because one or two steps removed, the cocaine on the boats might kill somebody. The fentanyl on the boats might kill somebody. Therefore, it's an imminent threat. And we said at the time, this is not good. And they're setting the precedent for the president to be able to say anything's an imminent threat and then use military force with no oversight anywhere in the world. That is a very dangerous precedent to set. And now we're in an argument about whether, you know, soldiers have to obey orders. They just openly make a blatantly seditious, borderline treasonous ad encouraging troops to disobey orders. And now the people that are actually patriots are like defending the expansion of the War Powers Act. Just what I'm illustrating is like people say somebody's controlled opposition because they disagree with them about whether Chubb the Builder should be arrested. It's like, do y'all not understand what controlled opposition truly is? It's when there's a real issue, you have the people supposedly fighting that issue completely derail it and take it to another issue that doesn't actually affect it, that just causes more problems, that causes more division, that guarantees you never actually solve the first problem while actually generating more problems down the line. That's how controlled opposition works. So the left has weaponized controlled opposition for three things that I think are pretty obvious. The first one I would say is climate change, since it has consumed and subsumed and completely taken over all environmental concerns whatsoever. Kurt Alex today talking about this and just being like, I'm not some tree hugging, you know, environmentalist, but like there are no bugs anymore. Does nobody care about this? If there are no bugs, what do the birds eat? If there are no birds, like, what are we doing here? I'm an environmentalist. I'm not shy about it. I am a tree-hugging hippie. I do glory in God's creation. I do think it's a sin to allow it to be destroyed or to destroy it. But as human beings, even allowing it to be destroyed. I mean, do you know how much happier I would be if we spent the same amount of money, the same amount of troops, everything that we're doing for the Iran war right now? What if we did that to, like, save the rhinos? And instead of having the white rhinos literally going extinct as I speak, you know, there are only 2 white rhinos left in the entire world and they're both female. Okay. So we are watching right now as a entire species gets snuffed out like a candle flame. We can't put a couple dollars towards that. We can't use some of our incredible military power to, like, you know, preserve God's creation. I don't know. I think that's actually just being a human being. Here comes the left to say, actually, all environmentalism has to go towards climate change. Climate change is carbon dioxide. So we have to crush people's ability to industrialize or, you know, have a gas lawnmower. It's completely ridiculous. Meanwhile, the Chinese are destroying all life in the ocean on purpose, and nobody's doing anything to stop that. Meanwhile, they're offshoring everything to China and India so they can just pour their toxic waste directly into the river and then out into the ocean. They don't actually care about the environment. So it's one of a few places where the supposed activity of the left is totally contrary to what they actually say they believe. But if you try to argue against it, you're told you just hate Earth and want, you know, the planet to be destroyed, and you're not an environmentalist because you don't believe the lie of climate change. That's just one example. That's controlled opposition. That's where they want to destroy the Earth, and so, you know, they want to be able to build these data centers and, you know, not have to pay anybody or, you know, have any surveys to see what effect it will have to the nature in the surrounding area. And so, you know, they're like, oh, the environmentalists might stand up against our industrialist aims, so let's be in charge of the environmental program, and instead of standing up against the actual destruction of the planet, we'll divert it all towards, you know, making you eat bugs. It's crazy. That's just one example. The other examples, I think, are more obvious and concrete. And once again, I mean, before I was at InfoWars, before I, you know, 15 years ago, I was having this argument because on Facebook and wherever else, for years, I'd be the only one talking about police brutality. Police brutality was an issue that really launched with people like Alex Jones, people concerned about the Patriot Act, people concerned about the fallout of September 11th and the way that local police were being empowered to be these, like, you know, they're all the SWAT team. Basically, they were being trained to treat the American citizens as enemy combatants. They're being militarized. It was about militarized police and, you know, how that was being used to oppress people. And for like a decade, at least, it was right wingers in the libertarian side of things, the Alex Jones, the InfoWars fans. We were the ones talking about police brutality. Nobody cared. Nobody would share the clips. Nobody, you know, would get on board. All of the sudden, it's like everybody I know is talking about police brutality. And I'm like, amazing. Finally, we're all on this. Finally, you're all figuring this out. We're all learning about police brutality and how damaging it is and how crazy it is that our police can get away with this stuff. And it's like, yeah, but only when it talks about black people, but only about police hurting black people, which isn't really a phenomenon, doesn't really actually have policies pushing it in the same way that, like, the police are being militarized by policy. They're being militarized because their budgets are withheld unless they take the terrorism training in Israel. But no, now, if you care about police brutality, it's only because you think that black people are unfairly targeted. Now, instead of being about policy changing the behavior of the police and the relationship between the police and the citizens and the way that's being deliberately, you know, manufactured to be combative and harsh, now it's about the immaterial, indefinable, actually non-existent mind state of the police when they're carrying out their job. It's absurd. It's controlled opposition. So what happens at the end of it? Everything bad. I mean, nothing good. Right? Now you've got people attacking the police for illegitimate reasons. The police don't want to take it. So they're, you know, the good police quit in droves. Now, whoever got hired by the police, they've had to lower standards across the board just to fill up the ranks. So instead of dealing with police brutality, all you've done is brought in a bunch of incompetent police that are probably more likely to be brutal, haven't solved the problem at all, and created a whole bunch of other problems and strife and chaos and misery on the back of it. That's controlled opposition. The final thing I'd say controlled opposition has completely screwed us, screwed the American people, and screwed anybody that actually wants to solve problems is with the prison system. The prison system is a complete disaster. It doesn't make any sense. We just have carried on this legacy system that is so far removed from what it was intended to be. It's complete nonsense. If you took somebody who had no context, who had no, you know, experience in the modern world, take them from the past, take them from the future, from the different planet or whatever, and just be like, yeah, our criminals, basically we put them through a giant complicated trial. Half the time, you know, we slap them on the wrist and just let them out again so we can do the whole trial thing next time they commit a crime a few days later. That's insane on the first of it. But if everything goes perfectly, then what we do is we take crazy, insane criminals. We put them in a box with a bunch of other crazy, insane criminals. We let them rape and stab each other for a couple of years, and then we put them back on the street. It's complete madness. It's utterly ridiculous. It needs to change. We need massive, sweeping overhauls of the judicial system. Unfortunately, the only people talking about that are the people who literally just want to get rid of prisons and think that locking people up in and of itself is some form of white supremacy, and that laws and police themselves came out of slave patrols. So just once again, in a situation where, like, we should have real conversations about how to fix the prison system, about how to deal with police brutality, about how to deal with all this stuff. Instead, you've got the left coming in, dominating the conversation, monopolizing the solutions that get proposed, and the solutions are all utterly and ridiculously retarded. I'm trying not to say it, but we're talking about liberals and crime. So retard is just the operative word. It's the only appropriate one. So again, this just pisses me off because what I want to do is sit here and be like, we need prison reform. But what that means in practice in today's media landscape is, you know, so you want to get rid of prisons or just like have two-tiered racial sentencing like they do in Canada and the UK, where it's just like minorities just get less prison time because they're minorities. Obviously, I don't mean any of that. I think the number of ways to change the prison system are just innumerable. I wouldn't even care which way we went. On one hand, I am genuinely in favor of physical punishment. I genuinely think that these dumbass little teenagers, see if you can find the pictures of the teenagers that were just arrested. Yeah, I know. The crew just said they're teenagers. I don't know if that was supposed to mean. No, their photos are out. Their photos are out. I mean, here's what you do. Find a photo of a Hispanic teenager. That's them. It's the same haircut, same. I mean, it's. Tell you what, we can go outside right now. High schools are just letting out. I guarantee we could find 100 people that look exactly like this walking out of a high school four blocks from here. Why do I want you to bring up? Why do I ask you to bring up their pictures again? They're teenagers. They should be beaten with a whip. They should be whipped in the town square. Do you think these little scumbags would be so cavalier about driving around shooting people if they knew that after being caught, they'd be stripped naked and whipped by an old white guy on a big platform? I'm telling you, nobody will discuss this with me except for Myron Gaines. What do we have to do to get this seriously considered? I want whippings. I want floggings. I want to adopt pretty much exactly the same criminal code as they used to have on old wooden ships. That's what I want. I want keel hauling. I want cat of nine tails. I want flogging around the fleet. That's how you keep things in order, folks. I'm not even joking. So that, like, literally that would be one way to go, is go like Nayib Bukele, physical danger, just like brutalize criminals just to send a message. Why not? Why not? Oh, the poor innocent criminals? What? No. Poor innocent people victimized by criminals. The criminals are on their team. Like, we have the innocent people in the police. That's our gang. Their gang are the dumbass Hispanic teenagers. Okay? What, and they're winning? What are you talking about? How is that possible? All right, so that's one solution. Whipping them. I think that would work very well. Or you could go the other way and just go, look, every single sentence is indefinite. You get sent to jail, you're staying there until you can prove you deserve to be out. Why not? Yeah. Yeah, this is, yeah. These are the three young men, the three juveniles shooting at people. That's them. They found the picture. I think you should have a graduated series of prisons. I'm just going to keep saying this. Nobody has any real suggestions. I think you have the normal prison like it exists now. And while that still exists, because this is the other thing, people like they want to do prison reform. And so they're like, let's let out everybody in prison and start over. How about this? How about you have the prison system as it exists now? Sentences stay the same. Everything stays the same. Meanwhile, you build a parallel prison system where people with good behavior from our legacy system, if they can prove that they are willing and able to conduct themselves in a civilized manner, they go to the prison camp. They go to the graduated prison system where they live in a contained prison village and they get to run a business. They get to interact with customers. Oh, this is very interesting. Full interview with Michael Cargill, owner of Central Texas Gunworks. He says one of the weapons used in Austin's shooting spree was stolen from his store on Saturday. He claims the suspects had attempted to steal from his store several times. He said the store typically doesn't check IDs until the purchase process begins. Let's pull in that video. This is friend of the show, Michael Cargill, owner of Central Texas Gunworks. And last time he was on with us, he was talking about this problem. He was saying there's an increase in people trying to steal guns from his store. And actually, I think last time we had him on, it was because there was a video of him stopping somebody stealing a gun from his store, if I remember that correctly. Guys, if y'all can pull that in, I would like to hear what Michael Cargill has to say about that. But this is a story that is from, you know, March of this year. This is how insane the system is. This is how insane the criminal justice system is, especially here in Austin, which, like I said, like, who is voting for this? Who is voting for the guy saying, I'm going to, as DA, I'm going to let those criminals out. I'm going to punish the cops. That basically was Jose Garza's pitch. And again, the American people, so brainwashed by Black Lives Matter, thinking that literally law enforcement is a bad thing. It's insane. But this is sort of the result of that. Austin cops who killed Islamicist terrorist and ended a massacre that slaughtered three are now facing a grand jury themselves. The hero Texas police officers who shot and killed an Islamic terrorist outside of an Austin bar are facing a grand jury led by the city's George Soros-backed district attorney. Travis County DA Jose Garza was slammed after it emerged that his office is assessing possible charges against the three cops that bravely killed gunmen in Diagne on Sunday, back in March. Diagne, wearing a Property of Allah shirt over an Islamic flag, killed three people and wounded 13 others before he was killed by police, who arrived on the scene within minutes of the attack. The city's mayor praised the officers for, quote, without a doubt saving lives. However, they now face the prospect of a grand jury, thanks to policy shaped by the woke legal group, the Wren Collective. The group worked with Garza's office to establish a policy for all police involved in the deadly shooting to face grand juries, including the heroic officers who stepped in on Sunday. So, I mean, do I even have to explain why this is a bad thing? Why would the police be brought up on charges? You have a gunman who's killed three people. He's wounded 12 others. He's clearly trying to kill as many people as possible. The cops show up. They end it. What is the charge? What would the charge be? This might not be that big of an issue if you didn't have people like Jose Garza, who will use this as an excuse to try to get, you know, cops thrown in jail for the rest of their lives for being heroes. And you don't think, just like I explained, how the criminals react to policy because they're human beings, because they understand incentive, because they make a risk versus reward calculation every time they commit a crime. And if they know or have personal experience with the criminal justice system and go, I keep getting let out for this, I'm going to keep doing it. In the same way, the police are also cognizant and aware of what's going on, of precedents being set and reactions thing, how dangerous do you think it is for any amount of doubt to seep in to a police officer's actions? When they're there on the ground and there's a violent situation, all you want the police thinking is, how do I end this situation? Not, how do I end this situation and not get sent to prison for the rest of my life because Jose Garza wants to kill me, wants to send me to jail so I can be stabbed by a gang member. Like, why do we allow this to happen? I really don't understand. And as you know, I mean, a grand jury, you can convict a ham sandwich. That's the whole point of them. Grand juries present evidence without a defendant there to explain it or argue against it. So it's like, put yourself in the position of like one of the lawyers for the city. They come to you and they go, hey, there's a new law. We have to actually file a grand jury summons and have a grand jury trial for these police. Like, why? And you're sitting there going, but the police killed the guy with the gun who was murdering people. I don't want to charge you. Why would I charge you? But now you're like, you're having to impanel a grand jury to investigate a shooting that absolutely nobody is even questioning or debating the merits of. I guess we have to. It's just completely insane. Here's Michael Cargill, a friend of the show, owner of Central Texas Gunworks. He says that may have been a gun stolen from his store that was used in these random shootings. Let's watch.
All right, good afternoon. So back on January the 6th, January the 8th, one of those days there, we had a gentleman come into the gun store, actually two of them, and try to acquire a firearm. They've come into the gun store apparently four other times to try to steal guns from us, four separate times. And so this one particular time, they were able to get a firearm and run out the store, out of the gun store. This is back in January. We immediately gave chase. One employee went out the front, jumped in the vehicle. Another employee called 911. I ran out the back door and chased them to the Capital Metro bus station located behind me. They jumped on a city bus. I jumped in front of the city bus. I stopped the city bus from moving. I then had the driver open up the door. I jumped on the city bus, had the driver to lock the door. I then had the driver to call their security. The two gentlemen were actually on the bus with a firearm that they had taken from us. I told everyone on the bus, no one's leaving until law enforcement arrives.
So if you remember, that's Michael Cargill. He was on The War Room shortly after that discussing all of this and talking about how he had to basically citizens arrest the guy in the bus. But this is what – so you've got these guys like trying to steal guns and the city doesn't punish them, doesn't arrest them. It's just like, you know, good luck next time. You'll get to try again. It is completely insane. But right now, folks, I have a question for you. It's decision time for you. Everybody listening to my voice has a decision to make at this very moment. Are you going to continue your life with brain fog and exhaustion and distraction and excuses? Or are you going to seize life by the horns and take control of your health? That's the option you have to make. That's the decision you have to make right now. Do you continue to suffer or do you go to visit thealexjonesstore.com? Thealexjonesstore.com has new methylene red capsules. The methylene red ingredients list, it's all proprietary. The supplement is something that we created, and we made it to sort of partner with and help to enhance Ultramethylene Blue, but it's completely different than Ultramethylene Blue. It's its own formulation. It's incredibly powerful. It doesn't actually have any methylene in it, but it has a ton of amazing proprietary supplements for daily clean energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus and performance, cellular energy support, and more. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We've been right.